From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, a look at what the driest city in the country is doing to make the most of its water.
Meanwhile, there have been diplomatic meetings today in Paris. NATO is meeting in Brussels, responding to the crisis in Ukraine. While those meetings take place, Ukrainians here in the U.S. are taking action. We want to hear from two of them. At midnight tonight, a busload of Ukrainians will depart from the Vladimir Ukrainian Orthodox Cathedral in Cleveland, Ohio. They'll be heading for Washington. They plan to demonstrate tomorrow outside the White House, calling on the president to stand up against Russian President Vladimir Putin. On that bus will be 18-year-old Ukrainian-American Nadia Petriev. She's part of a group called the Cleveland Euromaidan Committee. It's named after the square in Kiev. Nadia, welcome.
Thank you.
We're also joined by Tamara Denisenko. She's former CEO of the Ukrainian Federal Credit Union in Rochester, New York. She joins us from WXXI in Rochester. Tamara, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
And Tamara, it speaks to how many Ukrainians are in the U.S. The Ukrainian Federal Credit Union serves Ukrainian churches and others, and it's one of several. Are you one of the many that we've heard who have been raising funds and helping to finance the opposition in Ukraine?
Well, we're in the process of helping those who had suffered during the Maidan activities. They are in the forefront of the battle for Ukraine. We can only support them morally, financially to those who have suffered, and influence our government to support the new government.
In fact, you also participate in a program through the U.S. Library of Congress called Open World, and it's an exchange program. And you've had Ukrainians, you have some coming in a couple weeks, but you've had Ukrainians come there to Rochester.
Right. They'll be here from the 21st through the 28th. And I always make sure we have Ukrainian Day so that they can see what an ethnic community or Ukrainian, any community can do in a democratic nation. One young man was crying when he saw from Dnipropetrovsk that we had Ukrainian school, that kids were able to do whatever they wanted to do and promote their culture and their language. And that is something. So to me, it's unusual that in Ukraine, the native population cannot be Ukrainian.
Well, and Nadia, we understand you lived in Ukraine until you were five. You go back every year. You still have family there. It would make sense that Ukrainians in the U.S. are part of the Ukraine that leans toward Europe and the U.S. as opposed to the part of Ukraine that leans more towards Russia. What is your sense of what's going on right now in Ukraine?
It's just an invasion, pretty much, of them coming into an independent country and doing something that no civilized country in the 21st century should be doing at this point.
Well, there are, of course, others who feel that way. But devil's advocate here for a second. We're hearing today that the brand new leader of Ukraine is saying that he is willing to consider bowing to some of the concerns of Russia, giving more autonomy to the Russian-leaning region of Crimea. There's a sense that maybe what is happening today is diplomacy. Are you willing to wait and see if it might shake out that way?
If it can be worked out diplomatically, I think everybody would be for it. No one wants to lose any more lives of innocent people than have already been lost.
And you mentioned also that there's discussion about giving Krim more autonomy. But also Yatsenyuk, the current prime minister, said that there is no way that he will permit dividing the country or having Crimea join Russia. And I am concerned. Everybody says, well, it's Mr. Putin is doing it. But my concern is if he did not have thousands, hundreds, and millions of people behind him with the same ideas, one man would not have been able to do such an invasion.
And you know the history that Crimea was a part of Russia until 1954 when it was given to Ukraine by Khrushchev, who, of course, could not have foreseen that the Soviet Republic would fall apart and Ukraine would become independent. Can you understand, as much as you Ukrainians have such a love for your homeland, that the Russians would have a concern about what used to be part of their homeland, Crimea?
Well, I think that you have to take into consideration also the feelings of the Tatars, the native indigenous population that was in the 40s physically removed from those parts of Crimea. So it's, you know, it's a two-edged sword.
It is a deep, and you point out, complicated history. And meanwhile, it's one that more Americans probably than in a long time are aware of. Nadia, what's that been like for you to suddenly the country of your birth is in the headlines? What's that been like?
It's hard to believe. You can't even imagine that some place where you were during the summer, peaceful and no problems at all, would be turned into a war zone. But now, I think after this, the country has been more united than it has ever been.
Well, a country more united than ever. But you're going to Washington to ask for what?
We would want to urge a deepen our political, economic, and diplomatic isolation with Russia. Because once on one side you're saying, we're going to give you isolation, we're not going to do this or that, and then you still continue to have ties with them in other areas, it kind of, I don't know, I think that would show Putin that they're not going to do anything as drastic as you would think. So he's just going to continue with what he's doing right now.
How about you tomorrow? What would you like to see happen now? I mean, this seems to be a day of diplomacy. Are you willing to sit back and give diplomacy a chance, or do you want to see stronger
action? But it has to be ongoing diplomacy. It was unfortunate to see initially the G7 said we would do things together, impose sanctions, and all of a sudden that G7 alliance seemed to unravel because, unfortunately, everybody looks out for their own interests.
And maybe you're making reference to the fact that many of the G7 European countries, for instance, depend on Russia for gas.
Correct.
And
Yes. And you will sell out your brother if it means saving your own. And that's unfortunate. I'm the post-World War II era. I have seen all of this occur in different time periods.
In fact, your parents had to go to Germany because Ukraine was occupied by the Nazis during World
War
II.
Yes, they were forcibly taken as slave laborers. And unfortunately, everybody believed the Russian rhetoric. And Ukrainians had to face European, British, and American and other countries' actions, keel haul operations, where they were forcibly being repatriated. And I hope those historic events have taught the new generation of leaders in the United States, in Europe, not to repeat the same mistakes, because there are expansionist intentions. Ukraine is, like somebody said, a jewel for either Russia and for Europe. And Europe needs to start looking at it as an equal partner in the world, in that region. What is wrong with the Ukrainian country that nobody really wants to support its independence and have it become part of the world community, not only just be a vassal of somebody else's border?
Well, I want to thank you both for speaking with us.
You're very welcome, and it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
That was Ukrainian-American Nadia Petriev from Cleveland and Tamara Denisenko from Rochester, New York.